You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. In Richmond, check us out on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. And you can listen to us wherever you are with the Odyssey app. You can also watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish Cakes. EB and JP, that is the foursome. But joining us right now on the BetQL Guest Hotline, as he does every week at this time, it is the head coach of your Washington Capitals, Spencer Carberry. He's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com. Good morning, coach.
Good morning, guys.
You feeling better about where you are now versus a couple weeks ago?
Got to.
Yeah, we had a good trip out west. Some difficult games. Struggled a little bit early on. Winnipeg game wasn't great. Edmonton, probably the game, the way the game played out wasn't dictated what the score looked like. I think it was a little bit closer than that. But we're able to grind out that back-to-back win in Seattle was huge after some difficult travel and finishing the trip. We got away with one in Calgary, but we'll take it coming back home.
Yeah, coach, what a trifecta too in that game against Vancouver. Most importantly, you get 2 points against the top team in the West in their building where they've only dropped 7 games all season. Ovi Potts, number 841 of his career, and TJ gets to 1,000 games played, milestone, all wrapped up in that win against Vancouver. That was a big one.
Yeah, it was. It was a really emotional frankly, the whole day, because we had a nice video, sort of a tribute celebrating Osha's career. Then it becomes a little bit touch and go where he has to leave morning skate early because they had a little bit of discomfort there. So we weren't sure if he was going to be able to suit up that night. So you've got all this buildup. But then for him to be able to play and us to play the way that we did against one of the best teams in the league on the road Saturday night, and the way that we sort of held on to win that game, I thought it was a really inspiring and emotional win for our entire group.
Coach, I also saw that the team has plans to celebrate Osha's 1,000th game played. They're going to do it Sunday pregame before, I believe, the Winnipeg game, where all of the players are going to wear 77 during the pregame warmups. Then they're going to auction those off to raise money for a charity that fights Alzheimer's, which TJ's dad unfortunately suffered from before he passed. So nice touch by the Caps organization to do that, you know, in front of the home fans coming up on this homestand.
Yeah, it'll be great to be able to celebrate that with the Caps fans in our building. And it's just when you think back, 1,000 games in this league is an incredible feat. And we just actually celebrated one in Seattle. It was Jordan Eberle, and earlier this year, I think it was Matt Duchene in Dallas. So there's some guys that have had just tremendous careers around the league, and Osh is one of those guys. And to be able to celebrate it on home ice and let the fans show their appreciation for Osh's career and what he's done for this organization, particularly will be a great day.
By the way, how good does it feel to be home after you touched on it at the top of the interview, after all the time zone crisscrossing, the poor sleep? I mean, I don't even like taking a 2.5 hour plane ride to Orlando, like, once. You guys are taking like 5 or 6 flights in a week, maybe more. How did you guys adjust to that? It's going to feel good to have 4 in a row here at Capital One.
Yeah, it was. The travel was a grind on that trip. Like you said, we were in Alberta, and that's pretty unique. You normally, when you go to Alberta, you play Edmonton and Calgary, whether it's back-to-back or a day in between, so you stay in that province. They're about, you know, 30-minute flight away from each other. But for us to go out west and then back to Alberta was a little bit unique and added just a little bit of travel. And that back-to-back, I mean, the Detroit one we had with Ottawa earlier this year was difficult, more so because they were rested and going through customs and that. It just adds. So that was a really tough back-to-back. But the Seattle one was the toughest on our schedule this year for the 2-hour flight, because normally when you play back-to-backs, the league likes to keep your travel pretty short, but that's a 2-hour flight. Time zones in there, border crossing in there, which adds some time. So by the time guys are getting in, you know, and to bed, it's like three in the morning, and you got to play that night. So that win against a rested team in Seattle really provided some mojo and some little bit of momentum for the trip that we were able to parlay and sort of springboard into Vancouver.
Talking to Coach Spencer Carberry of the Washington Capitals, you guys have been leaning on Charlie Lindgren more than Darcy Kuemper, and I saw this stat, and I'm sure you're aware of it. When you guys give him a lead, he's 18-0-4. How important is it to getting on top early?
It's huge, and I think you saw a good example. We can just go back to the last game in Calgary, because we did not have our best mentally and physically, and so you're trying to work your way through that game, and you can feel that our pace of play and our brains, some of the reads and decisions were not there at all. But to get that early goal from Stromer, it sort of gives you, one, confidence, but two, okay, we can find a way out of this. We can find a way to get 2 points in this game, even though we might not have our best. And that's what you saw, by being able to get out to that lead. Then you get a power play, you score there, so you're up 2-0 now, where you haven't played your best hockey. And so sometimes you need to win games like that. And to your point of scoring early and getting out to a lead plays a huge role in that, as opposed to playing from behind.
So, Coach, we were talking about the upcoming schedule yesterday with Alan May, and we said, all right, they're home games, but they're very difficult games, and especially Toronto facing Austin Matthews, who scores like every night. But he did say, he made a good point, that you're playing all of those teams on back-to-backs for them. So Toronto played last night. They lost to Philly. Carolina plays the night before you play in Winnipeg, too. And that Winnipeg game's a 12:30 start. So just talk about the next 3 games in particular over the weekend with Toronto, Carolina, and Winnipeg all at home.
You're thinking the exact way that I'm trying to guard against of – be very, very careful on thinking that opponents on back-to-backs are going to be somehow, some way easier. I understand the travel, that they're tough, right? But we've been in those situations multiple times this year and beat a rested team, like, i.e. Seattle. And so, their travel provides an obstacle for them, but you have to know that you're going to get Toronto's absolute best tonight, especially coming off a loss in Philly, where, you know, Sheldon wasn't too pleased with their effort overall from their entire group. And so you're going to get a hungry team in here, and we know they're one of the best teams in the league, tons of firepower up front. And so we're going to have to be get it cranked back up here, because Calgary was a little bit, you know, end of a road trip. And now we've got to use yesterday to reset and get it cranked back up, like I said, for tonight.
Coach Carb, speaking of firepower, it's return to the power play. The Caps have the league's 3rd best power play at 29% over the last 2 months. I mean, did you see that coming? Like, well, have there been a few tweaks that you've made specifically that you can point to? Or is it part of it just like Ovi scoring on the power play? It certainly helps. You got 2 of those in Calgary.
A little bit of that, but I think, too, as we sort of got more comfortable at the beginning of the year with trying to integrate some different things with Kirk Muller. And like we've talked about, of trying to get some different looks, trying to change the formation with Backstrom not available and Kuznetsov not playing regularly. So we what I think has happened is now it looks way more seamless. Guys are comfortable reading off of one another. Okay, if X happens, here's what we do. If Y happens, here's what we do. And so all of our movement and reads has just become a lot more seamless for each guy, to where very predictable, very connected with what they're doing, and they're being rewarded and scoring some huge goals. I mean, they're like I said, the second goal in Calgary the other night, I thought was a really, really big goal, important goal there. And so not just the success that they've been having production wise, but I think there's been some timely goals in games where we've really needed our power play to step up, and they've delivered.
So now it's going to be a roller coaster, because yesterday we were celebrating over the fact that the Caps are in the second wild card, and then we wake up today to see Detroit wins, they beat Columbus, and now you're a point out. So now you're at the point of the season where you not only have to take care of your own business on the ice, like you have to do against Toronto tonight, but you also, there's a little bit of scoreboard watching to see what teams like Philly are doing in the Metro and Detroit, and those teams that you're battling with, that you're jockeying with over these last 15 games.
Yeah, and that's you guys do me a favor. You guys give me the updates each week, because we're really trying to stay in the moment. And I understand it. I get it. People are looking, watching. Okay, what if they win? Who are they playing tonight? All of that stuff. But to me, it's irrelevant if we're not handling our own business and worried about the Toronto Maple Leafs. And that's where I think our team and guys and staff has done a really good job of staying in the moment. Okay, so Seattle today, what do we need to do? How our backs are against the wall? How do we get a productive night from our group in Seattle? Okay, reset, rest day, and then we'll deal with Vancouver when the day comes, and so on and so forth. So we know all of that stuff, whatever other teams are doing, is going to affect us, you know, obviously, but it doesn't really matter if we're not handling our own business.
Did you foresee this like a month? Did you feel like you were capable of this, even though when you let some important pieces go? I mean, you guys were sellers.
Yeah. I've always had a ton of belief in this group, and if anybody that's followed us all year, you guys know we've been in some really, really difficult situations, and the character of this group has usually shown through where you just think, you know, this team doesn't have it, or there's no way they're going to find a way to get a result tonight or play at a level to keep up with this team. And that's, I think, what I give our guys a lot of credit, the character inside of our group, not only from our leadership, but also our young guys that are very, very driven young pros that not just want to be successful individually in this league and prove that they can be quality NHL players, but they want to win. They want to win, and they want to do the things required to win in this league. And so you see these games that we're grinding out 2-1, and, you know, maybe we don't have our best, but a lot of the little details and the little habits that you have to perform consistently to win in this league, our young and veteran guys are leading the way in that. And that's where I think us being in this situation and being playing in meaningful games and trying to grind our way into the playoffs is a testament to the character of our entire group, young and veteran.
We know one of those young guys is Alex Alexiev. How important has he been to this team? Because early on in the season, he wasn't playing as much.
Yeah. Yeah. And we move Eddie at the deadline to Toronto, and he's got a good opportunity to come in and play, and has earned quite a bit of ice time and has earned games and been in done a really good job. Like he knows exactly. I feel like he's got such a clear vision of his identity and what he needs to do. He's not, going to run your first unit power play, but he's a guy that's going to defend really well, move pucks well. And he is a big guy that gets in shot lanes. That'll, eat some pucks, whether it's on the penalty kill or 5-on-5, and sacrifice in that way. And he's done a nice job for us, post deadline.
Coach Cars, we have to touch on the other Alex, obviously, becomes just the third player in NHL history to get 20 goals in 19 straight seasons, joining Gordie Howe and Brendan Shanahan on a very short list. I think you summed it up perfectly when reporters asked you what Ovi's secret was throughout his career. You said consistency. He's durable.
Yeah, that really is. Like, you look at the greats and those being able to do that, that is so hard to do year after year, of being available for 19 straight years and being able to play in, you know, mostly every single game for that long is just phenomenal. And that, the scoring and his talent and his ability and his shot, all of that stuff is off the charts and world class. But him being able to suit up every single night through an 82-game schedule and being so reliable for his 19 years that he's been in the league is remarkable.
All right, Coach, thanks for the time, man.
Good
we always
tonight.
Appreciate it. Best of luck at those 2 points against Toronto. Keep it rolling.
Okay, thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Yep, you too. We'll talk to you next week.
It's Coach Spencer Carberry, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit cfaortho.com. Very exciting that they are back in the mix.
I know what I'm sitting down at about 6:45, settling in for the evening, watching Caps Leafs. Hopefully get another 2 points at home.
When do you have your beers? Do you have your beer right at the beginning, or do you wait till the end?
Yeah, I don't wait till the end. I probably crack one as soon as the puck is dropped. Try to nurse it through the end of the first period. Have the second, probably mid-second period, and then try to resist having a third during the third period is usually my go-to.
But you could be one per period.
Oh, I could. Yeah, I certainly could be.
It's probably more often.
I have been at points. But
your average?
I try to limit. I try to beat back that monster and put it in the closet.
No lunchtime brew?
No, I'm not.
For the movie?
No, I get too sleepy. Like if I have a drink in the middle of the day, I'm basically done for the rest of the day.
All right, got to take a break. Phone number is 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Coming up next, what is Chris Sims saying about Marvin Harrison Jr.? Remember,
you could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're hosting a screening after the show today at noon. Private screening of Roadhouse starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor at Icon Tyson's at noon. Free popcorn and free soda. It is first come, first serve. So you want to have a good time? Catch a movie on the big screen.
Yep.
Take off work, do whatever you got to do. Join us at noon at the Borough, Icon Tyson's at noon.
Guaranteed fun hangout. Guaranteed more fun than work. And it's not even close.
That's for sure.
Who would rather go to work than watch a free movie with free popcorn or free soda? Nobody.
That's a pretty great day, Cakes.
No one. It's a really great day.
So Chris Sims always makes some headlines when he's ranking quarterbacks, and he also ranks receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that has jumped out to people is his take on Marvin Harrison Jr. Now, he doesn't slam Marvin Harrison Jr., but all along most people just assumed he was going to be the first wide receiver selected in the draft. We've even talked about the possibility of Washington. We haven't talked about this so much lately, but Washington choosing to
build their team up first, draft Marvin Harrison Jr. and deal with a quarterback down the road. Chris Sims doesn't have him ranked number one. He doesn't even have him ranked number two. He has Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU ranked higher, and he's got Marvin Harrison Jr. number three. Now, it's not that he doesn't like him. He just doesn't think he's as explosive or gets as much separation as the other two.
That might be true.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He probably doesn't have the all-out speed as those guys, but, man, he's 6'4". He's got great hands. He had a lot of big plays, man. I think the last 2 years he had 28 touchdowns.
I feel like his hands are a big thing that jumps out at
me. He's just, yeah. Who knows how good he's going to be? I think he's going to be really good depending on what offense he's in, but these other guys are going to be studs too, I think.
He's been really good grading receivers over the years. Now, some of these, like in 2021, he had Ja'Marr Chase and Devontae Smith as his number one and number two receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these maybe were obvious at the time, but he thought that CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson were the top two in 2020, and both obviously are studs.
Those are both huge hits.
See, that's not exactly true. So Justin Jefferson was the number four wide receiver taken that year.
Mm-hmm.
Behind, I believe, Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy.
And Rager. Remember, Rager
was there right there,
him.
Too. Right. And when he talked about Justin Jefferson that year, he said, I can't believe this guy's not getting more hype. It's jumping off the page at me how good this guy is. He's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. He should be talked about as one of the best receivers in this draft. He's right behind CeeDee Lamb.
Mm. And he was right.
Great route runner, can separate from people, fearless over the middle, snatches a ball out of the air. Mike reminds me of Michael Thomas.
Now the good thing is,
every time I watch,
really good.
Every time I watch Harrison, though, he's always what I mean. He can catch anything, and he's always making big plays.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know what his 40 speed is, but it seemed like he was separating himself from defenders.
Well, you can imagine that Harrison probably also. I mean, first of all, he played for Ohio State. Now these other guys played for LSU, so obviously huge programs. But
correct.
I mean, Ohio State is certainly. I feel like they were on nationally every week, right? Mm-hmm. We're watching them every week. Was LSU
probably
necessarily on in our area every week as much as Ohio State?
Probably not, but they're on
feel like
national
they are.
TV a lot.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I mean during like the
SEC
Joe Burrow,
Network,
Jefferson Chase
They
era?
Might not be on CBS.
Like this last year.
Or ESPN, but there's probably, you know, with the SEC Network, you can
I feel like
watch
Ohio
them
State
week.
Was always on. I was always watching them.
You can watch every LSU game.
Yeah,
but it's not as readily available. Right? Would you say? Or I mean, no?
They might play one or two games a year on the SEC Network, but usually they're going to be on ESPN.
It probably
or
depends
ABC.
On the matchups.
Uh-huh.
Right? I think that I was talking about this with EB during the break. I think if Brian Thomas Jr. somehow lasts into the mid-20s, I think that's when Adam Peters is going to be on the phone for a trade-up back into the first round to potentially pick him and pair him with Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson.
Where do you think receiver
he's a super freak.
Is on their target list?
Got to be, I would think, in the top two or
obviously,
three.
Quarterback's one, but I would think receiver's got to be. Yeah, if it's not
well,
two,
I take,
it's be...
I take quarterback out of it because that's obvious.
Yeah.
I think
I don't
it's
know that
tackle
to,
and receiver.
I don't know if you have to trade up. Like, looking back at this 2020 NFL draft where Justin Jefferson was the fourth one selected. All right, Henry Ruggs was super fast, right, at the combine.
Mm-hmm. If but you got to throw him out, right, but the whole...
Yeah.
Disastrous.
And then Jerry Jeudy, who's pretty good, went number 15.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb went number 17.
Right.
Jefferson went number 22. All right. But if you keep going down the list, 25, Brandon Ayuk.
Yep.
Keep going down and you get into the second round, T. Higgins and Michael Pittman Jr. Both
no,
have been very good players.
Class. Like maybe he doesn't feel like he has to trade up to get a quality wideout. But like if you want a guy who has, I think he's 6'3. Ran a 4.33 at the combine, big physical receiver. Like, I'd be stunned if that guy lasts until 36.
Probably not. But it's just a matter of what Peters wants to give up to move up there.
Right.
I mean, he might just sit back and say, I can get a really good receiver at 36 or 40.
I missed Rager. So Justin Jefferson, when he was drafted 22nd, was the fifth wide receiver selected.
Right.
But point is, after that, you still had really quality receivers selected early in the second round. Now, the drop-off is after Michael Pittman Jr., who was at 34.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the video from a few years back from that draft night of Rick Spielman, who was obviously involved with the Commanders front office, where he's back and forth on the phone with then-Vikings coach Mike Zimmer when they're like on the edge of their seat because their pick's coming up. They pick one pick behind the Eagles, and they think the Eagles are going to take Justin Jefferson. And then when they hear the name turned in is Jalen Reagor instead of Justin Jefferson,
they flipped.
They couldn't believe their good fortune that their guy fell into their lap, and they were just ready to sprint that card up and make the pick. It's a cool video to watch, especially when you see how those two careers have diverged.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Jefferson is one of the top two or three receivers in the league, and Rager's bounced around on at least two or three teams at this point.
Right.
He's basically a special teamer.
All right, so let's say Washington goes quarterback at number two, which we all assume.
Right.
Can they really afford to trade up the draft a wide receiver case? Because now you're shirking the tackle.
Well, again, I'm not saying that it's a must, but I'm just saying that if a guy as talented as that, and I'm talking about Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, falls into the mid to late 20s, and the price isn't that high, I just think that he would be tempted by it. And then you pick your best tackle at 40, if that's your move, and you have to part with the number 36 pick and whatever else draft capital to move up like 8 or 9 spots.
I mean, looks like
every mock I look at has Harrison being the number
PFF
one receiver.
PFF has him number one. Yeah. But doesn't necessarily mean, like, what I was getting at is, so maybe I'm just partial. I always would seek out Ohio State games. But, you know, obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. is getting a little run, too, because of his name, right? Name factors in.
Sure,
like, he had the production, but when you see that flashy name like that, it's like if you had a Michael Jordan Jr., of course you're going to, right? You know what I mean? Like, the name factors in some of his attention.
The name definitely carries some weight. His dad's a Hall of Famer.
Maybe that's elevated him. I thought he was dynamite. Every time he threw him a freaking ball, I made a huge play when I watched. But I don't know. Maybe we're sleeping on these LSU guys.
Hmm.
There's a lot of buzz that Malik Nabers is either the equivalent of or starting to slightly overtake Marvin Harrison Jr. Like,
I know. There's a lot of hype about
him. If Harrison Jr. goes, say he goes 4 to the Cardinals, there are a lot of mocks that have Neighbors going either 5th or 6th.
Right.
Chargers up.
Chargers 5, Giants 6.
Giants are they're sitting at 6. They desperately need some help in their wide out.
Where does Sims have the Washington receiver? He doesn't have him in his top 3.
No,
he has
probably
the two LSU guys. Then he has Marvin Harrison Jr. Then
I guess he's got him 4.
But PFF has Adunes 3 amongst receivers. Whatever it's worth. I mean, everybody's got
I mean, most mocks have him going in the top 9 or 10, too. Like, he's going to go off the board pretty early.
Right.
Yeah, Daniel Jeremiah put out his mock draft 3.0.
Yeah, right.
For some reason,
that.
I respect him. He's got Odunze,
right?
9th pick.
Yeah.
Odunze.
Well,
by the way, also, it was Turbo, apparently, the fish, Turbot.
Yeah.
Somebody said it's Turbo.
Our pronunciations have been off the last few days.
How would you know?
And apparently the rapper is Money Long, not Mooney Long.
Our friend D. Woods pointed that out to us for the prize read.
So have we butchered like 3 things today already?
Yeah.
No, I didn't do that today, but on Monday.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it says Chris Brown with special guest M-U-N-I.
Money Long.
Long.
Yeah, we kept calling it Mooney Long.
Drab, you're more of a college football guy. Of these receivers, who would you take number one? I'm going to hear the Drabby rankings.
I think Harrison. For
you
sure.
would take.
Yeah,
Harrison.
I mean those other guys, but Malik Nabers the previous year, I don't think he was very good. And I mean, I don't know a lot about Brian Thomas other than the fact that, like, his athletically, he just jumps off.
He's got that size.
And
too.
I love Odunze. I mean, Odunze is an unbelievable 50-50 ball receiver. Like, he's gonna get it.
Mm-hmm.
How accurate is Kuiper's mocks usually? Because he's got Washington taking Daniels and not May.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, May or Jeremiah has May going to. I mean, they're all over the place.
I don't think anybody really knows what Adam Peters is thinking.
No, of course not.
Well, that's what they say. This group is very tight-lipped.
Good.
Yeah. I don't know. I go back and forth. Jaden Daniels, I think, is the most exciting player, but I do think Drake May might be the pick. Just more traditional, big, solid, strong guy. I listened to your boy Drabby, Herm Edwards, on Kimes podcast, and he's a huge Jaden Daniels guy, obviously, right? Because he coached him and recruited him there at Arizona State. But he admits that Drake May's probably better in the pocket, probably the best pocket quarterback in this game. Maybe I just want that, Cakes. Maybe I just want that. But well, I don't know. Nobody knows what Peters wants.
I like the guy that can take off and run and gain 70 yards.
That's I like Jaden that, too.
Daniels. That's my guy.
When all hell breaks loose.
Yep.
You know.
He's more ready day one. I don't care about who's going to be the better quarterback 5 or 7 years down the road. I want the guy who's more ready now.
So I was doing a lot
ready
of,
to start.
I was doing a lot of driving yesterday. I think I heard somebody.
How do you know he's ready now?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, that's just your guess.
That's just a tingle. A tingle play.
I was driving around yesterday. I was listening to Grant and the guys, and it was late in their show, I think, and somebody called in. They were talking about the draft, and somebody threw out the possibility. I'm not sure if they had announced Cornelius Lucas had signed at that point, but just the whole point being that we're going to draft quarterback. We got to protect this guy. It's been a huge issue here the last few years. Go 36 and 40, both tackles. Two starting tackles. 36 and 40. So you go quarterback, like, two tackles, and then after that, then you could just
then
do whatever
worried
you want.
About,
if you feel like there are two tackles worthy of being picked 4 picks apart, and you have them graded highly, I don't hate
would
it.
Would you hate that if you had a if you
no.
if
you as long had, as you address quarterback first, I'm fine with that.
Essentially, two tackles that were probably in a lot of mocks were first round caliber guys. If 36 and 40, they're right there, first round, second round.
I'm totally
and,
cool
and
with
you have your Drake
Mayer,
Jaden Daniels.
It's a major area of need. It's a glaring weakness on the team. And if they want to use both second round picks to shore that up, fine with it.
Would you hate it?
No, I would not hate it.
Yeah.
I would really hate it if they traded down out of two, like to 8 or 9, and picked a guy like Joe Alt. That I would hate.
Yeah.
Well, I would officially hate that.
But if they did that, but
they're not doing that.
But if they did that though, but they just love, nobody knows, they love Michael Penix. Or they love Bo Nix.
Again, this is where we have to trust Adam Peters. I have to trust his acumen and his talent-judging eye and his staff that if they love Penix, you have to be behind the pick.
Caleb is having his pro day today, right? Did I read that correctly? Is that going to be on ESPN?
It'll be either that or NFL Network, I'm guessing.
All right. Well, we got to put that on.
I assume.
Is it his pro day or is it just like USC in general?
I guess USC.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I guess USC. Yeah.
I'm sure the receivers.
Sure, they're not all going to go there just to see one dude.
Right. Yeah, but that we'll be watching that today.
Oh, if it's on,
that's
I'm
must gonna, watch.
If that's on, I want to see that.
After we watch Roadhouse.
Right.
After we watch Roadhouse and we watch Caleb Williams sling it all over the field.
Right.
All right, are you looking for the best seat in the house or your office, maybe even your home office? Of course you are. It's time for you to ditch that beater chair for a new one before you're riding the bench with a back injury. Nobody wants that. Look no further than PVI Office Furniture in Frederick, Maryland. They've got you covered. PVI has an enormous selection of furniture. Visit their showroom on Monroe Avenue in Frederick. At PVI, you can expect triple play service that's fast, affordable, and customer-focused. Hit a home run with PVI. Visit PVIPVI.com. That's PVIPVI.com. Business grows with PVI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll give you a chance to win some cool prizes, including tickets to go see Chris Brown and Money Long at Capital One Arena. Money. We also have two tickets to Jeff Lynn's ELO tour.
No, Rick, ELO. No, nobody calls it ELO.
I don't even know what's ELO.
Electric Light Orchestra.
ELO.
They're a big band in the 70s.
You remember them?
Come on, man. They had hits back in the 70s.
Don't remember them.
Yes, you do. Well, you remember the songs.
I don't know.
Not easy play. Don't Bring Me Down by ELO, as JP like to call them.
Well, why wouldn't they put like some
Here's why.
Periods in
because
between the EL and O.
That human beings have heard of ELO.
And well, it's like calling OAR or.
Right. Had you heard of ELO?
Yes.
I'm familiar with this.
Yeah, I mean, you've heard this song. You just didn't know
what it was. You never call it up on your Spotify, but you've definitely heard it a million times.
What about EL or Evil Woman?
Yeah, that was another hit. These are songs
I guarantee
like,
you've heard that song.
That, like, when we were younger, we would play at a jukebox. I know that's an old, like, antiquated, like, concept for any of the younger listeners.
For us, like, we were too young, but we would go to, like, a pizzeria or something.
Yeah, yeah, like the local pizza parlor would have a jukebox, and you'd be like, Dad, can I have $2 for the jukebox? He'd give you a bunch of quarters, and you go pick
five
or six.
Now, for older folks, it would be at a bar, right?
Like, yeah, bar, sure, there'd be a jukebox at a bar.
What was... You said the word jukebox, and it reminded me of something. What was the thing on TV where you could call in and order a video?
I mean, Jason used to watch it all the time.
It was like Channel 30.
I can't remember the name. I know what you're talking about.
We used to pay money.
You pay for a video. Yeah. Like, you want to watch a special ed video or something. You pay $3. Video jukebox or something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember. 800-636-1067.
I don't remember doing that.
It's a lot.
It's before these guys' time. I don't even know if they were. I don't even know if Valdez.
Yeah, but it was like a music video request.
I think it was
show
jukebox.
Jukebox Network or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
You would pay like $3.
Yeah.
You would like text it in your phone somehow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you'd watch a video.
You don't remember
not your phone.
Text
well,
it in your phone.
It was like an old school phone.
We're going
in
the Wayback Machine. You don't remember Friday night videos.
Of course I do.
Yeah.
You don't remember
on
those.
NBC. Yeah.
That used to be a thing.
Yeah, that and the George Michael Sports Machine.
We grew up in the heyday of MTV.
You don't remember that?
And
do you
draft videos.
The Video Jukebox Network? I think that's what it was called.
No,
you do like pay per view video. Now I don't even know why. Do I mean? I guess artists still make videos for their hit songs.
I think
they make
like straight to YouTube. That's like
and they just put it on YouTube.
Yeah,
right.
I would assume.
Right. Like when you're on Spotify and you see a song, you'll see like. I don't know. You'll see like Morgan Wallen like playing guitar or something, but it's not really from a video.
Yeah.
It's just an image of him playing.
I mean, I used to sit down and watch MTV when they would world premiere music videos
back
in the mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was appointment TV.
Right.
Friday Night Videos was must watch.
The Box. Somebody says
Jukebox Network.
I thought I was right. The Jukebox Network.
Yeah. I'm seeing it from 1988 right here.
I feel like
I don't remember ordering on that.
But
we
also
did.
Called the
I
box.
Did. Maybe I did.
I did it a few times. I did. Sorry.
What videos did you want to see?
I'm sure it was some hip-hop
stuff. I want
to see
BBD.
Cool Mo D.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it would be like special.
Yeah, it was
ed,
80s
right.
rap.
Or like
Q-Tip.
Heavy D.
Rakim.
You know, some sort of like cheesy, hip-hop
sure.
artist.
Looks like you were charged between $199 to $399 per call.
What I feel like
and you could request up to three videos.
Right.
And I
definitely
remember that.
Expensive
back then.
And we're doing the way back bit, but I love the old get eight CDs for a penny
bit. Oh, Columbia House.
Oh, yeah. Oh, BMG.
Columbia House was the thing.
I was
back
a BMG guy. I felt like BMG was more of a scam. It was a little
and
bit
it was
easier
like
to
revolutionary
pull off.
When you used to get them on cassettes, then they went to CDs. You felt like you're a baller.
Right.
That cardboard box with like 13 CDs in it.
So we've talked about squatters a little bit lately. I've had a dilemma with an investment property that we have in Mineral, Virginia. It's got the squatter
out. It's enough
out,
to make you not want to ever rent.
It took
to people
a couple of visits to the courthouse to finally make it happen.
Squatters.
By the way, the squatter damaged the hell out of the spot.
You expect a squatter to be respectful to your property that's not theirs?
I mean,
probably
if
not.
I showed you what it looks like, you couldn't even imagine.
Let me guess. Probably cigarette burns in the carpet, holes in the walls.
Holes in the wall. And just trash.
Trash everywhere.
There was a huge case that went viral yesterday that everybody was talking about.
Yeah, so I'm bringing up. So in Queens, New York, it's $1 million home, although it just looks like a regular home. But just based on location, it's $1 million home. A pair of what they describe as vigilantes allegedly tried to forcefully evict three squatters from the home. They changed the locks.
They're so irate about the thing.
And tried to remove them. Two unidentified men driving a black pickup truck pulled into the driveway of the home searching for the squatters.
It's black.
They said that we're looking to get this guy out. The owner was in the process of selling the property when a group moved into the home last month. It was an inherited property. You can relate to this. They confronted the people that were living inside, the squatters, changed the locks in hopes that they would not be able to get in if they left. But the squatter called the police, and then the owner was arrested.
Wow.
Oh, that's infuriating.
Tilt City,
I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah.
We pondered this, you know, last week or the week before that. I don't know what the answer is. I mean,
you just have to go through the legal process.
I would lose my mind. I would lose my mind.
Right. You would get arrested.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
you would feel like you're within your rights doing what you're doing.
Yes.
But the police would probably think otherwise.
Maybe. I mean, I guess in this instance, clearly they sided with the squatter, which is insane. And I guess the rationale is we don't know who's right.
That, I think, is the true rationale. So the owner just has to go through the legal process, which, believe me, can take some time.
So like,
doesn't help if you show up to court late, too.
What if you're the homeowner? You go there to evict these squatters, or you confront them. They call the cops, and you go, here's the lease, or here's the, what is it, the deed.
Yeah.
I have the effing deed. This is my house.
Who can find the deed to their house?
I don't know.
Well, that's what the woman in Queens did, and they arrested her.
Right. So how can that be still nebulous?
What is your recourse?
Here's the deed. Yeah. I have the deed. That's not up for debate.
No, here's the problem.
Well, because they want it to go through a judge. They don't want like the cop deciding on the spot. They want it to go to the court.
It's a major
so each side
flaw.
Can prepare
it's
the
inherent,
paper.
It's a major
is.
Flaw.
The inherent problem is that squatters have rights. If they're squatting on your property, they should have no rights whatsoever. But according to the current laws,
yeah, but I don't think it's because
rights.
I don't think it's because of squatters. I think it's because of maybe somebody is behind on their rent or something.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
That's where it emanates from. We don't want to just give, you know, protection to people that just like randomly steal people's homes.
Right, we shouldn't.
Yeah.
But let's say you just got fired from your job and you're late on your mortgage. Should you automatically be? Maybe you should. Maybe you should.
I don't know.
Just be automatically evicted.
Can the owner cut off all the utilities? Change the locks? I mean, what can the owner do?
I don't know if they can change the locks because they don't have access to the house. But I suppose you could cut off the utilities. Maybe. Maybe you could do that.
I mean, unless...
That's illegal.
It's illegal?
Yeah.
It is?
Why is it, though?
Because you're denying the people that are in there, like, running water. That's considered illegal.
Yeah, that's crazy, though. I don't know why that would be considered illegal. I believe
you,
but I don't know why.
Out,
that doesn't make sense to me.
If you want them out of the house, you can't
like,
cut
the
utilities.
Like, I own the house. It's my effing water.
I don't understand. Yeah. If police can't get involved, right, then if there's a home invasion, or breaking and entering, why wouldn't you just say, he said I could live here?
Yeah. Yeah, why arrest anybody?
Yeah, how could you arrest anybody? You know what I mean? Middle of the night, someone breaks into your house. You tell me the police can't do anything about it?
Yeah, when some creep crawls into bed with your wife.
Yeah. Oh, no. She invited me. Yeah. I live here now.
Well, that's what the squatters do, is that they claim they have a rental agreement with someone or someone else. And then when you claim you have a rental agreement, then it goes to the court. But the court system takes so long that it's past the time that needs to be decided. So inherently, the property's yours. Since you've been there long, it's a systemic problem. Like Eric said, it's not like people aren't just going into houses and claiming that they're there and they're squatters. It's people who say they have a rental agreement with someone else that maybe the third party made up.
But they have to provide documentation.
But the reason why,
yes, I know, but
and if they don't have documentation.
But it can be anything. It can be mail that's been there for 30 days. It can be, sometimes it's a fake rental agreement that they have.
Sometimes they don't even have a rental agreement or have paid. I can tell you this personally. My sister-in-law had a friend move in. My sister-in-law moved out. Mm-hmm. The friend would not move out.
Mm, trouble.
Yep. Well, that's when I go in.
And I couldn't forcibly remove her.
Drag her fat ass out. Right. That's what I would do.
Tell her to find a new place to live.
Apparently, in this story in Queens, the cops told the owner, you can't change the locks.
Right. Which is what Valdez was saying. Like, you can't shut off the water, too. It's just insanity.
Yeah.
But I have to believe.
It's a broken system. That's what it is.
I have to believe that the rationale for it ultimately is to protect people who maybe get behind on their rent in an honest way.
I mean, I'm looking here. I'm not super familiar with the rationale, but the reasons for squatters' rights laws, it says preventing violence, protecting the vulnerable, legal due process so that you ensure the occupants are not removed by force without legal due process.
I don't get it.
I'm not sure the historical roots.
Those are pretty weak.
The historical roots go back to medieval England. Definitely don't know what was going on there.
Well, they have squatters on the property.
They need to do what they're doing in Georgia. I believe there's a bill right now in the House of Georgia that would make squatting a criminal act instead of a civil act.
Good.
Yeah, but what determines squatting? Like, obviously, when somebody just says, oh, there's an opportunity, here's an empty house, I'm going to move in and then screw them for 6 months, that's obvious. But it's like when you have a situation like JP where you got somebody who just refused
to move.
Who was invited in, who was paying
rent. And now
rent,
they don't. Yeah, exactly.
And then stop. That's where it gets nebulous.
Right. If they're not invited into the house and they break into the house, how do they get into the house if they're not invited in?
I don't know.
They don't have keys. They break in.
Yeah.
All right, so that's a criminal act.
Maybe.
But if, like you're saying, his sister-in-law's.
But that was still just as
friend,
bad.
Oh, I agree, but she was invited in by the sister-in-law.
Yeah.
I think possibly there's no like real jail time for these squatters, right? If you falsify all these documents, nothing happens to you. And so in Georgia, they're going to send people who do this to jail for a long time.
I mean, imagine, Jason, if when Valdez lived in your basement for a couple months.
Yeah, he wouldn't leave.
And he wouldn't get out of there.
Yeah, but he's respectful. He's not a squatter.
Technically, he was. Yeah.
The only thing I squatted on was his potty.
All right, a little bit later in the show, we'll talk some NFL with Shale Kapadia from The Ringer. But coming up next, it's Game Show Wednesday. We'll play Junkie's Password for some Chris Brown tickets and the ELO tour tickets as well. 800-636-1067. Your chance to win some great prizes next on a Game Show Wednesday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic
and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.